Welcome to your AQA GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving into one of the most important and genuinely fascinating topics on the specification, wealth and poverty. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode will take you through everything you need to know, the key concepts, the religious teachings, the exam technique, and some quick-fire questions to test yourself. Let's get started. So, why does this topic matter? Well, wealth and poverty sits under theme F of the AQA Religious Studies A specification, and it's a topic that connects deeply to both Christianity and Islam. It asks a really fundamental question: is it okay to be rich? And if you are wealthy, what does your religion say you should do with that wealth? These aren't just abstract theological questions, they're questions that billions of people wrestle with every day. And for your exam, they're questions worth a significant chunk of marks. Let's move into the core concepts now. The first big idea is the attitude of religions towards wealth itself. And here's where candidates often go wrong, so listen carefully. Neither Christianity nor Islam says that money is evil. What Christianity teaches, and this is crucial, is that the love of money is the root of all evil. That comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The exact quote is, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Notice what it says, the love of money, not money itself. This distinction is absolutely vital in your exam. If you write money is evil, you will lose marks. The examiner's mark scheme specifically flags this as a common error. Money is a tool. It's the obsession with money, greed, avarice, putting wealth above God and above other people that Christianity condemns. Islam takes a very similar view. Wealth is seen as a gift from Allah and amana, a trust. Muslims believe they are stewards of their wealth, not its ultimate owners. Everything belongs to Allah, and humans are simply caretakers. This concept of stewardship is central to both faiths, and it underpins all the religious responses to wealth and poverty that we'll look at next. Now, let's talk about the two types of giving, because this is another area where candidates lose marks by confusing them. In Islam, there is zakah and there is sadaqah. Zakah is compulsory. It is one of the five pillars of Islam, the five core duties that every Muslim must fulfill. Zakah requires Muslims to give 2.5% of their surplus wealth. That means savings and assets held for a full lunar year above a minimum threshold called the nisab to those in need. It's not a donation. It's an obligation. It purifies wealth and redistributes it within the community. Sadaqah, on the other hand, is voluntary charity. There's no fixed amount, no fixed time. It can be money, food, a kind word, or even a smile. It's an act of generosity driven by personal faith and compassion. In Christianity, the equivalent distinction is between the tithe and freewill offerings. The tithe, from the Old Testament, traditionally meant giving 10% of your income to the church. Freewill offerings are voluntary, spontaneous acts of generosity. In practice, most modern Christian denominations emphasize generous giving rather than a strict 10% rule, but the principle of structured, regular giving remains important. The key exam point here, zakah is compulsory, specific in its percentage, and one of the five pillars. Sadaqah is voluntary and has no fixed amount. Do not mix these up. Now let's look at the causes of poverty and, crucially, how religions respond to them. This is where the 12-mark questions really come alive. Poverty has multiple causes, and the AQA specification expects you to distinguish between them and link each cause to a religious response. Let's go through the main ones. First, exploitation. This means the unfair treatment of people for financial gain. Think of sweatshop labor, unfair wages, and the charging of excessive interest on loans. In Islam, charging interest, known as riba, is strictly forbidden. The Quran explicitly prohibits it because it exploits the poor and creates unjust inequality. In Christianity, the prophetic tradition, think of the Old Testament prophets like Amos, calls believers to speak out against injustice and to campaign for fair treatment of workers. Organizations like Christian Aid and Islamic Relief both work to challenge exploitative economic systems and support fair trade. Second, natural disasters. Floods, droughts, and famines can push entire communities into poverty through no fault of their own. Both Christianity and Islam respond with emergency relief and longer-term development work. Zakah funds can be used for disaster relief. Christian Aid runs programs in disaster-affected regions. The religious motivation is compassion, agape in Christianity, rahmah in Islam, and the belief that all humans are created equal and deserving of dignity. Third, war and conflict. Displacement, destruction of infrastructure, and the breakdown of economies all cause poverty. Religious responses include peace-building, prayer, and advocacy. Many Christian and Muslim organizations work in conflict zones providing humanitarian aid. Fourth, individual choices. Some religious traditions acknowledge that laziness or poor decision-making can contribute to poverty. However, this is a nuanced point. While Christianity encourages hard work, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat, from 2 Thessalonians, most religious teaching emphasizes compassion over judgment and recognizes that structural causes of poverty are far more significant than individual failings. Now, a really important concept for your 12-mark evaluations, the prosperity gospel versus ascetic views. The prosperity gospel is a theological position particularly popular in some American evangelical churches, which argues that God rewards faithful Christians with material wealth. If you're rich, it's a sign of God's blessing. If you're poor, it might suggest a lack of faith. This is a controversial view that many mainstream Christians strongly reject. The ascetic view is the opposite extreme, that true holiness requires giving up material possessions entirely. Think of monks and nuns who take vows of poverty. Most mainstream Christian and Muslim teaching sits between these extremes. Wealth is acceptable, even good if acquired honestly and used generously. Let's move into exam tips and common mistakes, because this is where I can really help you pick up extra marks. Mistake number one, misquoting 1 Timothy. As I said earlier, the quote is, "The love of money is the root of all evil, not money is the root of all evil." The examiner's mark scheme specifically says, candidates must distinguish between these two statements. If you get this wrong, you fundamentally misrepresent the Christian teaching and you will lose marks. Mistake number two, confusing zakah with general charity. Zakah is 2.5% of surplus wealth. It is one of the five pillars. It is obligatory. It is not the same as dropping coins in a collection box. When you write about zakah, be precise. Give the percentage. Mention the five pillars. Explain that it purifies wealth. Mistake number three, listing causes of poverty without linking to religious responses. In a 12-mark question, it's not enough to say poverty is caused by exploitation. You need to say, poverty is caused by exploitation, such as unfair wages and the charging of ribas. Islam responds to this by prohibiting riba in the Quran and organizations such as Islamic Relief Campaign for Economic Justice. That's the difference between a level 2 and a level 3 answer. Mistake number 4. A conclusion that doesn't follow from your argument. In 12-mark evaluations, your conclusion must be the logical result of the points you've made. If you've spent your essay arguing that religious giving is the most effective response to poverty, your conclusion can't suddenly say, therefore, individual effort is most important. The examiner is looking for a sustained, coherent argument. For the 12-mark question, use the FARM method for arguments in favor of the statement, against arguments against it. Religious teachings, specific quotes and teachings from Christianity and Islam. My conclusion, a clear, justified judgment. Allocate 12 minutes to this question. It carries 50% of the marks for the section. For the 5-mark question, make sure any scripture reference is explicitly linked to your point. Don't just drop in a quote at the end. Say, Christians believe wealth should be used generously. This is supported by the teaching in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, where Jesus says, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions, which suggests that material wealth is less important than spiritual well-being. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question 1. What is the exact quote from 1 Timothy 6:10, and why does the precise wording matter? The answer is, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. The precise wording matters because it condemns the obsession with money, not money itself. Getting this wrong fundamentally changes the theological meaning. Question 2. What percentage of surplus wealth must Muslims give as zakah? And what is this practice called in terms of the five pillars? The answer is 2.5%. Zakah is the third of the five pillars of Islam. Question 3. What is the difference between zakah and sadaqah? Zakah is compulsory giving, 2.5% of surplus wealth, one of the five pillars. Sadaqah is voluntary charity with no fixed amount. Question 4. Name two organizations that put religious teachings on poverty into practice. Christian Aid and Islamic Relief are the two key examples. Both work on emergency relief and long-term development. Question 5. What is the prosperity gospel, and why do many Christians reject it? The prosperity gospel claims that God rewards faith with material wealth. Many Christians reject it because it contradicts Jesus' teachings about the dangers of wealth and implies that poor people lack faith, which is both theologically questionable and socially harmful. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points to take away from this episode. 1. Neither Christianity nor Islam condemns wealth itself. They condemn the love of money and the misuse of wealth. 2. Both faiths teach stewardship, the idea that wealth is a trust from God to be used responsibly and generously. 3. Zakah is compulsory, 2.5%, one of the five pillars. Sadaqah is voluntary. Don't mix them up. 4. Causes of poverty include exploitation, natural disaster, war, and individual choices. Always link causes to religious responses in your exam answers. 5. For 12 mark questions, use the FARM method, allocate 12 minutes, and make sure your conclusion follows logically from your argument. You've got this. The key to this topic is precision, precise quotes, precise percentages, and precise links between religious teachings and real-world responses. Good luck in your exam, and keep revising.